Good morning, beloved. It's good to be here on another Sunday, another Palm Sunday morning. We give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to be here, allowing this event, allowing this time of worship, praise, and adoration to our Lord and Savior to take place. We thank Him for it. Before we go any further, let us just have to stop for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, and we just glorify you. Once again, Lord, you being so good and so good to us and blessing us and allowing us to be able to come together through this medium to be able to worship together and just give you the praise, Father, and most of all, to be blessed by and through your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth to do that which you would intend for it to do, to whom you would intend to receive it and to hear it. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow me to give forth your word today, Father, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego, Lord, but just to give that which you would have to be given, and praying as always that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Today is a special day for those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of a very special week for us, for as we remember our Lord and Savior's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which happened some 2,000, excuse me, which happened some 2,000 plus years ago. We call this day Palm Sunday because as we read in the word and even as we have studied through history, as Jesus was making his way and entering into the city, the crowds of people, and they were just shouting Hosanna as they cast palms before him, as he rode through the city on a donkey. We traditionally have heard many statements made and many sermons preached about Palm Sunday. And this may not be any different to many of you, but my emphasis today, if the Lord allows me, is not on the palms. No, my interest today and my focus today is on the folks. It's on the folks as they were shouting Hosanna, Hosanna, as Jesus was entering into the city. That shout, that word, Hosanna, really is our subject for today. Hosanna. Some have said shouting Hosanna then would be like us shouting Hallelujah today. But we know that not only is Hosanna a cry of worship, a cry of adoration, it also means save. And as we go back even into the root of the word, going way back into Old Testament writings, you know what I mean? Like, Lord, we beseech you, we pray, we pray unto thee that you would save us, deliver us, rescue us. So I want you to picture in your mind, you have throngs of people crying out, Lord, rescue us. We beg of you. We beg of you, Lord, save us, deliver us, rescue us. Hallelujah. Praise you. All of these songs, you have people just saying this word and meaning, Lord, meaning it in praise, but meaning it also as they were imploring unto Jesus. All of this is happening. Let me paint the picture a little bit. Yes, he's entering into Jerusalem. I mean, yes, there are throngs of people. But a day before this, just a day before, Jesus was like a couple of miles down the road, little city called Bethany. Now, to some people, a little teeny city, ain't no big thing. But a big thing happened in that city. For just one day before this, Jesus was sitting at the table, dining. Dining, eating a meal prepared by Martha, Lazarus' sister. Now, some of you say, well, okay, fine, he was having dinner. But one thing I didn't point out, Lazarus was at the table with him. The same Lazarus who Jesus raised from the dead. Word got around the little town in Bethany that Jesus was there. And a lot of people gathered around. Now, I'm into this story, but I apologize. Let me give you our text where we're coming from today. The Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. And if you start reading around the ninth verse, you'll get parts of what I'm talking about right there. Matter of fact, let me read this for you. You know, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. That's in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, the 9th through the 13th verses. The 13th verse being who you find our subject for today in that text, Hosanna. Very simple, Hosanna. So as we begin telling you, sorry for getting ahead of myself, I guess I'm somewhat excited about this message. Jesus dining with Martha. Word get out that he's there in Bethany dining with them. And a lot of people gather around there to see him, but not as the word points out, not just him alone, but they want to see Lazarus, who he has raised from the dead. Remember, there was no cell phone, no newspaper, no television. Everything is going by word of mouth. And the word got around about what happened with Lazarus. Folks knew that Lazarus was dead. There was no question about Lazarus being dead. But the great miracle that has taken place is that, wait a minute, not only did Jesus raise him from the dead, he's at the table dining with Jesus. Word got around. But I want to point out some things here. Now, remember, we were talking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which would take place the next day. But I had to bring you back to this day because there's a couple of things I think are very important that need to be brought out. Number one, it says right here, these people, the large crowd of Jews that found out that Jesus was there and came around, I can almost see them trying to look in the window and waiting maybe for Lazarus to come out or for Jesus to come out or something, that they'd be able to see this miracle for themselves, to see this Lazarus who was dead but yet now lives, and this Jesus who performed this miracle. And because of that, now watch this. Because of that, okay, there were a lot of Jews that were going over and began to believe in Jesus. Remember, they were still looking for this Messiah whom their fathers and forefathers had told them about. And they wanted to see this man who performed this. It's not like automatically, like maybe you and I today, we speak of Jesus and we know because we have the benefit of having read and being able to read what thus says the word of God, even in the New Testament writing. But they didn't remember, they didn't have this. They didn't have this. Okay. So yes, the scripture says right here in this 10th verse, okay, all these, after talking about all these people, all these Jews who had gathered around, okay, to see Lazarus as well as Jesus. Look at what it says here. The chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. What do you mean, Lazarus as well? Oh, we know they had already plotting and made plans to kill Jesus. But now they want to kill Lazarus too. You say, well, why in the world would they want to kill Lazarus? Because Lazarus and being this miracle of his coming back to life has happened, a lot of the Jews were starting to go over and become followers of Jesus, which means a lot of these chief priests, these Pharisees, all of these guys, a lot of their money was gone. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to, teach and go through history how the money was working because of the false things that they were teaching, because of the crooked businesses they were allowing to go on, getting their cuts from it, preying upon those people who were believing their religious rants and their little religious things that they were doing, their pious going around like they were so, religious. I have to use the word religious, not because they were saved, not because they were believers, not because they were really spiritual, but they were religious. They put on such an air a spirituality that folks were listening to the stuff that was coming out of their mouths, doing the thing that they were saying that was okay. Yes, go over to so and so's business, you'll be all right. And yes, come over, let us let this woman over here read your palm and tell your future. And they had all this kind of stuff going on. But now Jesus have been going around teaching, so they didn't like what he was going around anyhow. And then when he went on and performed this miracle of bringing Lazarus back from the dead, oh man, now these people were leaving the Pharisees and their teaching, these priests teaching, and believing what Jesus was saying. So he said, okay, yeah, since we were going to kill Jesus, get him out of the way, we might as well take this Lazarus out also. Plotting on Lazarus. So he said, oh, the plot thickens. Yes. But now we're up to the next day. Jesus is getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, which is only a couple of miles or so down the road. Saw a young donkey over there caught in the thicket. Told somebody to bring him over here, so that he can be obedient to the prophecy of him riding into the city. And as he began to enter into the city, there was a feast. He's coming into the city at the time of the feast going on. So he had a lot of people there. A lot of people. And then when they heard, they got wind that Jesus was coming. Some of those who may had decided to leave, they were still there. I mean, remember, Bethany was only a couple of miles or so down the road. Oh, word had got the better that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We heard talk. We heard we got good. We got it on good authority that when he leaves from Bethany, he's coming right through Jerusalem. So yes, there's a lot of people, okay, that wanted to see him, see Jesus as he made his way to Jerusalem. So here he comes, riding on this donkey, coming into the city. The crowds of people, the throngs of folks, all of these Jews were there, throwing out palm leaves before Jesus as he's heading down the road, shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Save us, Lord! Rescue us, Lord! Deliver us, Lord! Hallelujah, Jesus! Praise your name! Oh, yes, all of this is being shouted by the throngs of people as Jesus is entering into the city. Some just praising him, for some had already decided to follow Jesus. They knew of him. They were already following him. There were some who desired for Jesus to save them. There were some who desired to be rescued from whatever it was they needed to be rescued from, the type of life they were living, or maybe some type of vibe, whatever they were bound up by. But whatever it is, they recognize that this is a deliverer, the king. So many. And that's what they were doing. So yes, the palms were going forth. But I don't want you to forget what they were saying as they were throwing these palms forth. Oh, it's a time of celebration. Because as they were looking and anticipating and hoping for Jesus to do a wonderful thing for them, those of us today are able to look back and realize the wonderful thing that Jesus truly did. This was the beginning, just the beginning of one of the greatest stories ever told. Jesus is beginning the greatest act of love there ever could be. This was in the beginning of it. That the scripture already told us just a little part of it. The plot to crucify our Lord is already in the works. That's why they said, yeah, well, we might as well kill Lazarus as well. We've already making plans to take Jesus out. But this fella here, there's so many that know that he was dead and has been resurrected. We gotta squash this story too. We don't see any word of that happening, but that's what their plan is. Let's go on to Jerusalem and start putting this thing into motion even more, as Jesus was staying the night in Bethany. Those who were plotting his crucifixion and the plans of how to get it working, they had them going on ahead. That's why the folks knew. Those who were there to try to celebrate before the door in the feast, they said, oh no, we're going to stay here. Word done got out that Jesus is coming. How many of you know that people do strange things, different things when they hear that the Lord is coming by? How many of you have done some different things? Even when you were in service or you were in a meeting and the Holy Spirit begins to move and stir up in the place, you said, oh, Jesus, his presence is here, and you want to become part of that. Maybe you get your shout on. Maybe you get your dance in. Maybe you begin to shout, Hosanna, Hallelujah. Maybe you begin to ask the Lord to deliver you, to rescue you, to save you. Just as so many did on this day over 2,000 years ago, they began to do the same thing. He said, well, wait a minute. It sounded like it was, I don't know, so many folks, maybe it was the majority of folks, I don't know. But it was a lot of them, a crowd. Because a crowd of people were there, throng of folks were there. And whether they chose to be followers of Jesus or not, they knew who he was. Some of you are saying the same thing goes on today. There's so many, many that know of Jesus. There's so many would be quick to tell you, yes, I believe in God. I believe, to the point that I call him the Creator. There's some that when the excitement comes, when Jesus comes by, and those who know him, those who already follow him, they shout his name in adoration. And there's such power in the name of Jesus. You can't help but join in the shouting. But in the midst of those just shouting his name in adoration, because they know who he is, they know what he has done, they know what he has done for them, you're shouting. You're shouting for the Lord to rescue you. You're shouting for the Lord to save you. You're shouting for the Lord to deliver you. I may not know it. Those around you may not know it. Only you know the motivation behind what you're saying. You and the Lord. Some of you are doing it out of sincerity. Some of you are doing it because, almost like the sons of Sceva say, well, listen, you've done this for Peter, or you've done this for Paul. I want you to do it for me. Not because I believe, because I know that you can do it. Hey, if you've done it for them, why not do it for me? Your heart ain't right. But I don't know your heart. Neither does anyone else. The Lord does. So all of this is happening. We see this today. How many times do you look on the different programs and you see these different ones preaching whatever it is they're preaching? Some are preaching a true gospel, but there's some out there that's preaching a new thing, a different thing, something that scratches the ears of those who have those itching ears. And when you look out, you can't help but notice, wow, they have an auditorium full of folks. They have a lot of people. Some of you may be preachers of the gospel yourself. And you may be saying, I'm struggling to get half a church full, yet these are perpetrating out here. And they can get a whole standing room only audience. But that's all right. You see, there's so many. When certain folks come to town, there's not even standing room. There's so many people that want to go and see them. But for those who are preaching the unadulterated gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, letting folks know that you can be saved, you can be rescued, you can be delivered from whatever it is that's binding you up, that's holding you hostage, that's holding you as their slave. I don't care if it's drugs, I don't care if it's alcohol, I don't care if it's wine, women, and song. If it's causing you to live a life that has you so bound up, so enslaved, that you can't even find peace, even in sleep. But yet, there are some who are preaching this gospel, this good news, the true word of God, and they can't get a tenth of the audience of those who are preaching a type of prosperity gospel, a gospel to make you feel good. They're part, and you may find that there are so many that are part of that same crowd crying out Jesus' name, trying to, as folks used to say, trying to get warm by your fire. You on fire for the Lord, and they just in there getting warm by your fire, hoping that what is lighting you up, making you feel so good, will take hold of them as well. They don't want the commitment that you are, that you're living with. No. They don't want to have to live with the ridicule, with the attacks on you personally and on your character. They don't want to do that, but they want to just get the, as the saying goes, the loaves and fishes. They just want to get that. They want to be able to say, I was there. They don't want the true testimony. They don't want to be able to say that, yes, he touched, because they know the Lord truly touched them. They will not be the same. But they want to get close enough to get with me. Yeah, I can get a little warmth. But I don't want to get set on fire by the Lord. I don't want to get that close. I'm not trying to touch even the hem of his garment. But I want to be able to stay close enough where I can see that woman who did touch him. See how she was delivered. And I can tell you, yes, I was there. I was part of that crowd that was shouting Hosanna. There's going to be some as we look back and as we read what happened way back then. Yes, we know what happened in that crowd to so many that were in that crowd shouting Hosanna. We know what would happen with them in just a few days later. Those of us today, as we look into the scripture, into that day, we know that in that crowd, yes, there was some that were sincere. We know that. We believe that. But we also know that there were many that were in that crowd that were later on, those cries of Hosanna were turned into the cry saying crucify. The same folks out of the same mouth. That same cry will be changed into a different cry. Not because Jesus has done anything different, but because those who were plotting his death will put such things out into the society. That same thing is going on today. Beloved, we see it every day. And this is part of what the Lord was sharing with us recently. Too many believers, too many true believers are allowing the influence of the world to dictate their actions when it comes to the things of God. Too many believers allow the world to dictate how you worship, how long you're supposed to worship. Who said you're only supposed to be in service for an hour, 2 hours? When the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day. You have chosen, we have chosen this day to worship the Lord. Some of us think we're doing the Lord a favor. We give him an hour, hour and a half, maybe a couple of hours. We're quick to say that I love the Lord, I worship the Lord, but I got to do it in this little bit of time allocated. The Lord is challenging us. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, is challenging us today. Those of us who are still shouting Hosanna, Hallelujah, he tells us in his word, in this same Gospel of John, that the Lord is seeking those true worshipers. True worshipers. Not those who are just being warmed by somebody else's fire, but true worship. Those who truly, truly want to give God the highest praise because he's done great things for them, starting with saving their soul. Don't mind shouting for the Lord. Don't mind giving him time. Who do you think is giving them time? I don't mind letting the world know that, yes, he's my Savior. He is my Lord. Not embarrassed. No. Because he showed such great love for me. How can I be embarrassed that he would even give his life for me? He would let his blood be shed for me. He would allow himself to be ridiculed for me. He would allow the lies to be spent on him for me. He took my sins on that cross, mine, as he hung there, looking down the corridors of time. He did all this for me. And he started it on this day we call Palm Sunday. So yes, as I get ready to close here, remember those on that Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, as they cried out Hosanna, as they shouted praises, as they cried out, seeking, asking the Lord for their salvation, to be rescued, to be delivered. Remember that first Palm Sunday, today, as you celebrate this Palm Sunday this year, ask yourself, do you need to be delivered? Do you need to be rescued? This is the time that the Spirit of the Lord is coming by. Be like the blind man. Be like Bartimaeus. Be like him. Say, don't mind crying out. But make sure you're crying out. And you're crying out in spirit and in truth. You don't have to tell anyone else that I need to be saved. I want to be saved. And I believe that this is my chance. This is my day. This is my time. As the Spirit of the Lord is moving mightily today, I too need to shout, Hosanna. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you, beloved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for you being the deliverer. We thank you that on this day, Father, there's so many of us that can shout Hosanna. And we know that many of us are shouting it as words of praise and adoration. But Lord, you have saved us. You have delivered us. You have rescued us. We can't do anything but shout Hosanna, hallelujah. We thank you. And there are so many, Lord, that are shouting today, looking for that deliverance, looking to be rescued, looking to be saved. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that they are doing it. And for those that are doing it out of sincerity, that you will hear their cries. Save their souls, Heavenly Father. That they too may be able to begin to shout, hallelujah, Hosanna, for the Lord has saved them, delivered them, rescued them. We know that there's some Heavenly Father who is shouting today because you have revisited them. They have gotten off the path. But Lord, as you have come down the path that they're on, as you see, as you have sought them out, so many are rededicating their lives today. We thank you for them, Heavenly Father. Pray that they will just be rekindled, not just rejuvenated, Father, to the point that they're ready to begin the work again that you have assigned their hands to do. And now, Lord, as we continue through this day, pray that we do that we can and conduct ourselves in such a manner that even those who don't know you yet will be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for our sake and for his sake. Amen. God bless.